Hi, it's really great to have you with us. I'm Rob Porter. My wife Heather and I have the amazing privilege of being the senior pastors at Kingdom Culture Church in Burpengary, Queensland. We have an incredible preaching team, and I hope that this message will encourage and bless you as you listen.
Hey, we're starting a new series this morning called Giving a Year of Living Generously. A Year of Living Generously. I love the way Pastor Rob, Pastor Dad has ascribed this series, because it's almost like in a good way, it's almost like a challenge. What if we lived more generous for a year? A year of living generously, it's like a challenge. Like how could we go to another level of generosity? Not just in our finances, but in our time, our energy, the way we live our lives as believers. How can we live more generous? What would it mean to live at a high level of generosity for a year? And we're going to look at that. And this series, the way Dad's put it together, is we're going to look at many different things. We're going to look at how does prayer and generosity and finance interlink? How does time and energy and serving others and hospitality? You're going to hear from different staff about what they've just learned about money over their life and money in church. And we're going to kill some sacred cows, and we're going to be open and transparent. And this is not a series of arm twisting, but I pray that this would be a series of compelling, of revelation, of conviction, that we may go to a new level as believers individually and corporately. And so I think it's going to be a really good time. Are you excited?
Yeah!
It's funny, isn't it? I'm going to get my stool. I'm going to sit down for the start of the word, and then as I get more excited, I'll stand up. Because if you get to sit, why shouldn't I? I've told this message, Money and Me. And Dad, look, I've got a little notebook thing here. Check this out.
Nice.
Yeah, it's my little... It is, but I took it from your house. I actually did take it from his house and then wrote Fred Porter with chalk to try and that he wouldn't notice, and it hasn't worked. It hasn't worked. I think as believers, we need to talk about the fact that we think about money a lot. It's just Craig, is it? We think about money a lot. I think as Christians, we need to talk about the fact that we think about money a lot. I think as pastors and leaders, we need to talk about the fact that we think about money a lot. Money is kind of how we do things. And Jesus was acutely aware of this fact. It is not sinful to be aware of money. Sam, if you could close that door for me just on the side, because it's going to make my ADD go nuts. Thank you. Sorry, I don't have ADD, but I get distracted. We think about money a lot. I'm going to keep saying it. Because what's happened in church is, and Dad says this quite often, there's things that we can talk about in church. You know, in like the 90s, man, you didn't talk about sex too much in church. Right. Now everyone's got a series on sex. Right. You know, and some of them are, like Craig Gushell's got a series that's PG-13. Wow. You can talk about sex in church. Who's married here?
Yeah.
Come on, who loves sex? Carl Kinesovich with the double hands. So it's become okay to talk about sex and sexuality because it's a part of our lives, hopefully as married people. But sexuality is part of our life as human beings. But don't talk about money. Why? I'll tell you my theory on why. Jesus said, where your money, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And we don't want people to know exactly where our heart is because that's a thing we cannot fake. And so it is exposing to talk about money. Because Jesus, who measures us by our heart and judges by heart, says what you do with your finance and where your treasure is, there your priority and love lies. I want to talk about money and me, but really I'm talking about money and us. Chevron, just like... Just talk about sex. Just talk about porn addiction. Talk about anything else but this. We're going to read from the Bible. So I'll stand up for the reading of the word. Who's got their Bible here? You see it? It's improving, Dad. It's still not phenomenal, but it's improving. It's going to be on the screen, and it says this. It's Matthew, and it's Jesus talking. Don't hoard treasure down here where it gets eaten by moths and corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars. Stockpile treasure in heaven where it's safe from moth and rust and burglars. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. Wow, money's not just an indicator of our heart, it's a rudder for our direction. Wow. Your eyes are windows into your, and then Jesus gets really intense. Your eyes are windows into your body. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body fills up with light. If you live squinty-eyed in greed and distrust, your body is a dank cellar. If you pull the blinds on your windows, what a dark life you will have. Savage, Jesus. My goodness. Then he brings worship into the mix. We would consider ourselves a house of worship. Well, here we go. You can't worship two gods at once. Loving one God, you'll end up hating the other. Adoration of one feeds contempt for the other. You can't worship God and money both. We need to pray. Bless you. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you that you are calling us through the prophetic leading of our senior pastors to a year of living generously. Father, I thank you this morning something would break, something would shift in our perspective and our lens around finance. Lord, would you free us from the bonds of finance? Would you free us to be open-handed, open-hearted, that you would trust us with finance and revival? In Jesus' name, and everyone that believed it said, Amen. Jesus is being really intense. He says that money can corrupt your soul. Then he goes on to talk about how money and worship are connected. In 2010, I went to Perth with my father. And he was preaching at a church run by some of his pastors and mentors, Graham and Helen. And Dad said something very exciting to me. He said, "Do you want to preach for 15 minutes? I thought, absolutely. I was very excited. So we rocked up. And there was probably 40, 50 people there. And Dad spoke for 15 minutes. And then he said, "Hey, I'm going to introduce my son who's going to preach for 15 minutes. Now, I was trying to think when I was doing the sermon what I preached on. I don't know. I think I stole something about Bill Johnson's apostolic ship thing. I don't know. I used to steal sermons a bit. I don't anymore. So I preached that sermon. And it was all right. Dad came up after. He's like, "Good on you." Dad took the mic back and moved into a time of prophecy. And we went out with Steve Scrimmage of the Sun to a burger joint, which I don't remember what it was, Dad, but we went and had burgers. And Graham, Pastor Graham, who has preached here once, slid me an envelope across the table. And I said, "What's this?" And he said, "We just wanted to give you a love offering. We gave your dad a love offering and you preached half the sermon." You know? Yeah, he did. He did.
That's giving.
It is. It's true. And so I had the, and I didn't really get it. I was like, "Oh, thank you." I was more excited about my double bacon cheese. And then on the way back to wherever we were staying, I opened it and there was a crisp $100 bill. Which I was very excited about because Michael Clark's new bat, the V389 Select, had just come out. I was very excited to get it because I was going to open the batting for Australia. What happened, you say? Shush, I say. But I felt something tweak in me. Because before I got the envelope, I was espresso-elated to talk to 40 people about Jesus. Yeah. And that was more than enough. And then I got given money, which isn't bad. Pastor Graham was modeling to me that a worker is worthy of his wage and we honor those who do the thing. But in me, I went, "You can talk about Jesus and get paid for it? Bye-bye, number three batsman. Hello, world domination." So I went on a journey with money. I remember saying to Dad, "Dad, this is so cool. We've got money." Dad was like, "Yes, yes, son. Yep, it's very good. But make sure you preach to bless, not impress. Yeah. And make sure that money never becomes a part of why you do it.
Yeah.
Yes, Dad, yeah. And so I went on a 10-year journey of preaching. And as the time went on, I was given many envelopes. Some with literally $16 in coins. And some in Asia of $2,000.
Wow.
But I'm very thankful that Dad nipped it in the bud the first time I got it.
Yeah, So wise.
Because even though, can we speak candidly?
Yeah.
Itinerant kept me like afloat financially for many years. Because
yeah.
I was on less than minimum wage, as were our senior leaders. But it never dictates. Influence can dictate. I'll look and go, is it worth me being away from home base, from my wife? But money is honestly never a factor. I heard Heidi Baker, because what God does in our lives when we see something is he builds line upon line, precept upon precept. And so Dad taught me about that element of money. And then Heidi Baker was ministering at our church many years ago. And she said, I'll accept the love offering, but I'll never demand a set fee because I will not prostitute the ministry of Jesus Christ. I think it's very rude that they clapped Heidi. You said basically the same thing. Can I tell you, our church at the time gave her $140,000.
Wow.
Because when you trust God with the increase, he brings it.
Yeah.
But when you don't trust him and you demand, you tie his hands. But I think if we're honest, we all think about money a lot. You see, money is never a hero or a villain. It's just a lifestyle tool. Oh, beware of money. Money didn't do anything. Money is not sentient. It's just a tool. We decide whether money is good or evil, too high of a focus or too less of a focus. It is simply a kingdom resource to be used by believers. It's not good, it's not bad, it just is. Can I say something? In church, I'm going to come back to our text in a moment. In church, we have to get okay with the range because the range is real. What do I mean by that? In a church, you will have all people from all walks of life. In this building, we have people that are probably struggling to pay the rent. And we have people on over $150,000 a year. We have people with cars that are on their way out and roofs where the paint is chipping. Let's just believe for Pastor Caleb right now. And we have people with Mercedes and BMWs, which is a shame considering our car park. What we tend to do is we observe the range, and this is what we do. Are you ready for us to get very real? The people with a lot, I'm generalizing, we give what would be a lot in comparison to others, but not what God has called us to give.
Yeah.
I'm not in the us, I'm just talking. I'm not in the us. But praise God if you are.
Yeah.
The people with not much, who do have to take a greater leap of trust, like the woman with the 2 denarii, they instead sometimes point at those with more and make judgment calls. Instead of operating out of a place of trust, which Jesus stopped the whole synagogue and said, that's it.
Yeah.
If you have less this morning, there's good news. You are a prime candidate for the pleasure of God.
Yeah.
A prime candidate. So we have to acknowledge that in church, some have a lot, some don't have much. You may have in your own life experienced the range yourself. You may have had seasons of business where you were on hundreds of thousands. You may have had seasons where you were living in a dormitory and eating mee goreng every day. I know for me, I've been at this church for 9 years in April, and for about 6 or 7 of those years, I was on less than minimum wage. That's not a flex, that's not a whatever. I made a choice, God told me to do it. And that was my decision. And there was times where when I was on $250, $300 a week, I would look at some of the people I mentored getting jobs at mega churches and go, that doesn't seem fair. But you see, in the range, God is teaching us something. You know, you'll hear a lot from my dad throughout this series, and he's very humble, but he has experienced the range of financial living. The absolute range. It can be easy to look at a guest speaker we get in their expensive sneakers and nice jacket, because preachers like to wear sneakers. Not knowing the story of 10, 15 years of living week to week, and God blessing someone else is not Him cursing you. And often your blessing is wrapped up in celebrating someone else's. Can we improve? As Australians, can we improve at celebrating when other people win? Can we not feel the need to tear them down when they hit over 100K, when they get a blessing, when crypto works for them? Let's be great celebrators. Let's have a culture where people can come into the house and with a humble spirit talk about their wins, because they know that as a family we're going to support them. And it makes sense to support them because we want them to help us get a new building one day. The range is real. Emma, if you could come and join me on keys, that'd be amazing. I don't want to speak for Pastor Rob because this sermon's called Money and Me, but I will for a moment, in that sometimes it can be seen as when we are thinking about money and being strategic with money, we're too money focused. But I believe through my interactions with Dad and through interactions with other senior leaders, it is part of the gift of stewardship for Dad to know what is going on with the money. Some of you will never know the work he has done, and others, but particularly him, in getting us to a place of stability financially. A place of being without, and he probably wouldn't want me saying this, but going without and having a far lower wage than a senior pastor in their 60s should, so that we could get ahead as a church, so that others could be put on staff. Money is a part of church life. Money, more importantly, is a part of daily life. And so we don't need to be scared of it. We don't need to shy away from it. We need to hear God's heart on it. And we need to operate in that space. I am going to come back to our text in Matthew in a moment. You see, let's get honest for a moment. Kingdom Culture Church, one of the great churches in our nation. I believe that. I believe that. You are one of the great churches in Australia. But I want to talk a bit about why revival tarries. And I'm gonna need you to start playing to make it seem less intense. Let's get super honest, right? Oh, so much better, thank you. We have, after I say each point, you can say yes or no. If you disagree, don't say no. We have great senior pastors.
Yes.
We have some of the best worship in the nation.
Yes.
We have 9 staff. We have 300 to 400 people each weekend.
Yes.
We have about 500, 600 people service active.
Yes.
We have had some of the biggest voices in Australia speaking to our church.
Yes.
The last 6 weeks, we're seeing a cloud.
Yes.
Okay, we're done. Yes. Most of the revival ducks are in a row. Most of the revival ducks are in a row. There's one that's not. You see, God always wants to pour out revival. God always wants to pour His Spirit out on all flesh. But that flesh must be mature, generous of spirit, and ready for what God wants to do. To quote Gandalf the White, standing on the top of Minas Tirith, looking out at Cirith Ungol, "The board is set, the pieces are moving. We just need to partner together." We have a revival mixture in this house. But Pastor Rob, Pastor Heather, the executive team, the board, we cannot go to another. I mean, look around you. There's not like, if we had 40 people, we can't really. Unless we do that thing where they go back near the Hello Hub, but you can't really see and it's weird. This is not about money, facility, bloody, bloody, blah. That's all in the ether. It's about God being like, "Hey, Kingdom Culture Church, I can trust you." Why would He pour out $1 million if 60-70% of the house isn't giving? It would shortcut the blessing and the journey and the revelation found in the range, and God doesn't do that. But we can expedite revival. And it's not, I'm not just talking to KCC. The Western Church, in most churches, 10 to 15% of people do all the financial lifting. And the orphan spirit runs amok when we don't understand, when we all bring our little. Not only is that a decent amount anyway, God brings the increase. But I honestly believe while 10 to 15% are doing the lifting, we will still grow and we'll still people saved, but it will not be an outpouring. This is why I've studied this week a heap. We will go back to Matthew. This is why the Pursuit, City Light Church, these planted pioneer churches in America go to 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 over a space of years. Yes, it's good leadership. Yes, it's the Holy Spirit. But one thing they've got down is, well, we give. We give, man. Let's go. Russell Johnson, in his first year, his miracle offering was 2.8 million US. And at the time, the church was 350 people in Snohomish. It's not like in the middle of like New York. I believe God went, hey, Pursuit, I trust you. I'm not saying he doesn't trust us. You hear my heart this morning. But it's just, the peace is there. Let's go. Let's do it. In Malachi 3:10, a verse that Pastor Rob wants us to linchpin, says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try me, put me to the test. God is saying, I will inhabit and multiply your generosity. Then the only time in scripture he gives a precedent for this, he says, I'll prove it, put me to the test. You might be in this place and finance has been hard. Finance has been tricky. Finance has been week to week. The church has used and abused you before. I don't know what your story is, but what I do know is God inhabits the praises of his people, but he inhabits the generosity of his people. And he breathes on it. And then he says, put me to the test. Can I challenge you in this place? Couple months. See what he will do. God doesn't need your money. In the right spirited way to say this, we don't need your money, but watch what God will do. Put him to the test. Put him to the test. How do we do this? How do we live generous? How do we give weekly? Because what sometimes churches try and do is they do a series on generosity and then they do a lot about like prayer and energy and time. No, this morning I'm talking about money. Cold hard cash. Your savings account. What's in the bank? 3 points I want to grab from Matthew. Number one, Jesus gives an eternal perspective. How do I do this? I want to do this. I want to be part of a revival. I don't want to just sit on the couch and mooch for 10 years. I want to be involved. I don't want to give the bare minimum. I don't want to be the last fruits offering. I want to give. I want to be involved. But I find it hard. I'm scared. I'm nervous. The bills are stacking up. Number one, Jesus gives us an eternal perspective. Hey, none of this is real, is what he says at the start of Matthew. It doesn't go anywhere. It has no kingdom value. Don't get me wrong. Can we talk about this? I want like a really nice house. Like I'm frustrated that I'm 30 and don't have a house yet. Like I want a house. I one day, God's not against you being comfortable. I would love to have a Tesla Model X one day. I don't know if it's gonna happen. And don't be fooled by me. I'm a pretender. All my shirts are from Kmart. My gold watch is from a Black Friday sale and was $59. I'm a poser. But the point is God's not against that. But he is saying that just as long as you're aware, it doesn't mean anything. It's okay to be comfortable. We want to stack up an inheritance for our kids. Isn't that right, Pastor Rob? We want to make sure we leave them with millions of dollars. We want to do those things, but it's not of eternal value. If I get to the end of my life and I don't have a whole lot and I don't have a 3-bedroom house in Newport, but we've built a church together of tens of thousands of people. And like Dad talks about, our kids and our kids' kids and our kids' kids are there in a temple that we've built. Man, I'll be happy. Because that's got eternal value. Jesus shifts the perspective and gives us a money lens. Some of you, I feel this prophetically, you worry about money too much, stop it. The spirit of fear has grabbed a hold of you. And you overthink it and you stress about it. That is going to go now. You are not a slave to money. And we are not talking about stewardship and budgeting and all those good things. We're talking about the, oh, how can I do that? Oh, can I do that? Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure. Come on, man. He who the sun sets free is free indeed. And if the animals have somewhere to lay their head, how much more? How much more will God care for you? So number one, Jesus gives us an eternal perspective. I'm almost done. Number two, Jesus then tells us what will happen to our soul if we are finance focused. He tells us what will happen to our soul if greed enters our heart. He tells us what will happen. And basically through a very graphic, intense description, he says, your world's gonna get small and dark and alone. I don't know about you, I don't want to be in a dank cellar because of my greed. Can we call not tithing what it is? Sometimes we call it disobedience, but disobedience is sin. Sorry, but not giving is sin. I'm not trying to get your money, I'm trying to free your soul. Watch what he will do. I am not coming at you. None of our staff are from a position of wealth or a lot. I know what it is to have the meager ring. Pastor Caleb knows what it is to have the meager ring. We know what it is. We know what it is. Pastor Rob knows what it is to run a church in the middle of crisis while working at a motel cafe in Caboolture. He just said, dear God. Friend, you can be free this morning. You can be free. No one's looking at your giving. No one's going to be checking up on you. This is a you and God thing. Yeah. We're very open as a church on our books. You can look at anything, but we don't check you. That's between you and him. Yeah. But I want to encourage you. Watch. Band, you can come join me. Watch what he will do. I'm going to keep saying it. Watch what he will do. You know you're allowed to put it. This is the one area. You can put a fleece out with the Lord. Hey, God, I'm going to tithe weekly for 10 weeks. And not in an arrogant way, not like, and what are you gonna do? But hey, God, I'd love you to show me your preeminence and your goodness. Because I've doubted it. Maybe you've been taken advantage of here. Maybe a church has taken advantage of you, or maybe just a family member or a friend. I wanna tell you, you're safe in the hands of God. Because God is no man's debtor. I'm not saying no one's ever gonna take advantage of you again. What I'm saying is God is no man's debtor, and what the enemy meant for evil, he's gonna turn to good. Number three, last point. Jesus then brings in the concept of worship. We love worship, right? Yes. That new song, Carly, is so good. There is no ruins that you're... It's so good. It's so good. This is worship. Giving is worship. I know we want to separate it. I know for me, I find it much easier, can I be real, when we're singing with everything and the drum bits going, than when God says, give $500 to that thing. Yeah. Than when God says, this is how much I want you to give in legacy. Yeah. Anna just did our budget, and Anna's just got a couple more shifts in disability, and I got a little pay rise, and Anna was like, oh, this is what we're tithing now. And like a little percentage of me was like, oh. Me and Anna are different to, like, we just swap over the years. For some years, I'm like, babe, come on, we got to give, and we got to give over, and come on, we got to help someone get to Mizraim, we got to do this. And then other years, I'm like, yeah, we've served faithfully, we'll do anything, right, to get out of it. We've given time, and you know what they say, time is money. I think that's in Leviticus, Don't let the flesh win. Money is worship. Jesus says, money will either be a master or a servant. There is no gray area with finance. It will either be your master or your servant. Money has been my master many times. And we think it's more spiritual if money's our master when we're in lack. It's not. Still just a lack of trust. He didn't say there wouldn't be storms. He said he'd be with us in the boat. He didn't say that there would always be more than enough, but he said, bring me the lunchbox with the loaves and the fishes. I believe this series that Dad has got us on is not going to in any way stop the river we've been seeing in our church. My goodness. It is going to absolutely widen the banks. Because the river's been rushing quickly, quickly, quickly. But it's a bit of a narrow targeted river, and I believe that God is widening our riverbanks as a church, in how thick the anointing and the glory will be in here. And I believe, as all of us, I believe many of us in this place, we're gonna start. Where do I start? 10%. 10% weekly. That's where we start. And then there's all these, it's fun. Talk to Abby about Taruma. Read God, Money and Me by Paul de Jong. There's so many things. When you realize that money's a kingdom tool and you start doing things and see God bless it and multiplied and things are happening and you get blessed, and then it's addictive. It's like, oh, it's not this evil thing I need to be scared of and I never have enough of because Optus rips me off. It's, oh man, I can affect godly change with my money. Whether I am rich or poor, I can affect change. Why don't we stand in the house? Are you okay this morning? Are you all right? We talked about money. Dad's gonna be talking tonight. I looked at your sermon notes on Anna's computer. Dad's talking about Abram, the most generous man ever, and it's from the notes anyway. It's gonna be a brilliant sermon, so make sure that you come. I wanna do something quickly. I wanna pray for two sets of people, because I really believe, I mean, look around this room, look at what God did at Confidence Conference, look at what God did at Worship Conference, look at what God's doing in Growth Track, Kids Ministry, Youth. Aslan's on the move in our church. But we will cap the movement. Because actually, I do believe God wants to take us into new ground. I know our senior pastors believe that. Whatever that looks like, there's new ground, there's forward motion, there's revival moving. And as we partner with what God is doing in the vision of the house, something's gonna happen. In this place, if you feel called or are already in business, you feel called to finance the kingdom, you feel called to bless others with money. I want you to come forward quickly, if that's you. Yep, I feel called to not just give people money sometimes, like you, kingdom business, entrepreneurship, giving, blessing the house. Maybe some of you felt called to, God's like, hey, I'm gonna give you money and I want to know that you can be trusted with it. Great, great. Praise the Lord. Great. What I would like you to do, if it's appropriate, I would love you to put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you. So get close to someone and just pop your hand on their shoulder. And then church, what we're gonna do is we're gonna stretch our hands out to these people. From the front to the back, come on, lift your hands, do an Obi-Wan Kenobi. And we're gonna pray. We're gonna pray for covering. We're gonna pray for opportunity. We're gonna pray for blessing. We're gonna pray for favor. And we're gonna be, come on, just begin to lift your voices. You don't need to wait for me. We're gonna pray that God would open the storehouse of heaven, bless their endeavors, bless their businesses. Jesus, we thank you for everyone represented here, and if there's anyone in the crowd who didn't feel comfortable coming, or anyone of our church that aren't here this morning, we thank you that business and finance is a ministry and something you look upon favorably. Father, right now, in every business represented here, every bank account, every opportunity, would you bring favor? Would you bring favor? Not just so they can give to the church, but that they can bless people overseas, they can bless their families, they can bless co-workers. Lord, let them be fountains of blessing in their world. Fountains of blessing in their world. Thank you, Jesus. Open doors, open doors, open doors, open doors. Come on, keep partnering, keep partnering. Let's really pray over these guys. Opportunity, open doors, heavenly strategy, kingdom finance, opportunities in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Thanks so much for taking the time to listen to today's message. Our hope is that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If not, we'd like to invite you to begin your journey with Him today. When we read Scripture, we see that sin separates us from God, but that our relationship with God is restored by salvation through Jesus Christ. This happens because God gave Jesus His Son to die in our place, to deal with the sin problem, and He rose again so that we can have eternal life with Him. If we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, we can know salvation today. If you're ready to do that and turn from a life of sin, then pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Saviour. Amen. If you've prayed this prayer for the first time today, we would love to know and reach out to you and support you. So please contact us at hello@kingdomculturechurch.com.au.